There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
Oh my God, this is our podcast. You're listening to it.
Here we are. This is the Bechdel cast. We talk about the representation, the portrayal, the treatment of women in movies, one movie at a time.
I'm drinking 7-Eleven juice.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed.
Which you think would just be sweat.
I'm kind of disappointed that you're not drinking a Mark's Hard Lemonade today, but
I'm fully compromised today.
After they followed us on Twitter and everything.
You wouldn't believe.
They still have yet to send us any of their product, but we'll get there.
I don't know. I'm still, I got into an online feud with the geeks who drink, and I'm still really battling with that. And I think that they're afraid of me. And then I sort of just, you know, I can't be feuding right now.
Sure. I understand.
Feud, a show Alfred Molina was nominated for a Golden Globe and snubbed. There we go. There's the mention. Right
there
at the
it
top.
Is. There. Wow.
Oh, so we look at movies through the lens of how they treat women, using the Bechdel test as a yardstick, as a start for the convo. Bechdel test for us is there has to be a conversation between two female identifying characters in the movie with names talking about something other than a man for more than two lines of dialogue.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it would be that hard for any movie to pass. And yet. So many simply do not.
Yes. Today, I mean, I feel like no one will be shocked to know. I say we blow the reveal.
That
Lady Bird
passes
the Bechdel test.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wild. I'm so excited to talk about it.
Though. Yeah. Before we get into that, though, let us introduce our guest.
Yay.
She's a hilarious comedian. Mm-hmm. She runs a show called Velvet.
Great show.
Charlotte Lorston.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
Thanks for bringing us this movie.
Of course. I love this movie.
So you saw it in theaters, I'm guessing. Screener?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. Yeah. I mean, it only came out a couple months ago. So why did you pick this movie?
Well, I literally, when I saw the previews for it, I reached out to my reps and asked for a script. So I read the script before I ever saw the movie.
Oh, cool.
Because I was just so excited about Greta Gerwig writing a film and like it getting any kind of buzz. Like, I just get really excited when I see women doing things that are like close to my age. It just feels like I could do it.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like such a cool movie. I hadn't seen stuff like, I'm interested in writing a mother-daughter kind of movie, and I just wanted to see how she wrote out that relationship, and it was like really, you know, worthwhile to read the script and see the movie.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I want to see the script. That's
great. Hey, speaking of scripts, I do have a master's degree in screenwriting from
Boston University. That's such a stretch.
Congratulations.
I hate to bring it up, you know, I've written a script before. No big deal.
That's good to know. I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I know that now.
Well, congratulations on still having a master's degree.
Thank you.
I'm glad they didn't take it away from you after all that money.
Yeah.
Imagine if they did that.
No, we'd like to rescind
like
your master's
degree. If you don't use it in 4 years, they're like, sorry, gotta take it now.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It's got like an expiration date, dude.
You still owe us $200,000.
Well, I feel like I'm using it every day. Every day that we record an episode, I'm using that master's, baby.
Yeah, this is a coping mechanism.
This is totally screenwriter adjacent for sure.
Yeah,
like some people totally never even use their major.
Thank you for helping me validate my choices.
We've all made choices. You know what I mean? Like I make choices all the time. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good.
Sure.
Whatever.
Hey, kind of like what happens in today's movie.
Wait, people making choices?
People making choices.
People making
some
choices
of them aren't
the
so
movie.
Good. Some of them are okay.
These segues are
masterful.
I learned about transitions in screenwriting class. Anyhow, again, I don't like to bring it up. So I saw Lady Bird in the theater. I liked it a lot the first time. I would say that I didn't like it quite as much the second time. Some of it's...
Oh, I had the opposite experience.
Yeah.
I would say because I read it first, I liked the script better than I liked the movie.
Interesting.
Just a little bit. Only because of the casting choices. I was surprised by some of them.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, I was surprised by the boyfriend, her first boyfriend. Uh-huh. That's that casting choice. Especially because he just looked so much more like a baby than she does. I it was glaring to me. Like,
sure.
Just like, just get someone older. We all know they're older playing younger. So it's like,
right.
So that was weird. And I thought the brother casting was, and the girlfriend, I thought those were both kind of weird casting choices.
So I've never seen either of those actors before,
yeah,
I don't think.
Me neither.
Okay.
So this is, I think we are to understand, autobiographical of Greta Gerwig's life?
Yeah.
Semi-autobiographical. I wonder if she has an adopted sibling or not. I don't know.
I didn't look it up.
Me either. Maybe. Whoops. Well, that's
from
our
my
bad for not doing some research.
From my understanding, the autobiographical portion is that she lived in a small town and wanted to go to school in New York.
Okay.
So everyone who's ever
everybody
lived or died has had this experience.
Right.
That's why it's so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the mother and the daughter are on screen in this movie, I'm crying. I fully allowed myself to be manipulated.
Oh my God. There are some lines in there that really get a tear out.
Oh yeah.
The scene where they're shopping at the Goodwill fucking destroyed.
When she asked her, do you like me?
That one.
Yeah, because they were shopping at that time too.
Yeah. Anytime they're in a store together.
Women be shopping.
Women be shopping, but having them deep ass conversations while they're shopping? Yeah. Oh my God.
The one, but the I'm thinking of the part where they're having a fight when they're looking at clothes on the rack, mm-hmm. and then she pulls out one dress and then immediately they're not fighting.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm looking to start
crying. I thought the movie did such a great job of showing how you can forgive your kid for who they are at that age, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could tell her mother loved her and knows that she'll grow up and knows that she'll be more responsible. She just wants more for her, but doesn't like her at this age because she's so annoying.
I guess I'm reading a little bit about Greta Gerwig, the early life section of her Wikipedia page.
Oh, good.
I'm a scholar.
Yeah.
But this does actually seem like a pretty close adaptation of what her life was, where her mom was an OBGYN nurse. Her dad worked for a credit union. She has a younger brother. They don't say if he is adopted, and then she went to an all-girls Catholic school in Sacramento.
Okay.
And she describes herself as, quote, an intense child, which also tracks with Lady Bird. So,
Interesting. So, speaking of that, I'll kind of give a recap of the story. Caitlin's famous recap. We focus on Christine McPherson, who has given herself the name Lady Bird, and she wants everyone to call her that. She is a senior in high school in Sacramento at an all-girls Catholic high school. She does not especially like Sacramento, or at least she doesn't think that she does. And she is gearing up to be applying for colleges. Because she doesn't like Sacramento and California in general, she doesn't want to go to any of the UC state schools around. She wants to go to New York. She wants to go on the East Coast. So kind of that's on her mind. She has a difficult relationship with her mother, Marion, played by Laurie Metcalf. Her mother is a bit overbearing. She's pretty judgmental. They get in a lot of arguments. Her dad, on the other hand, is total beta male, sweetest guy ever.
Daddy beta, yeah.
And she has a best friend named Julie, who throughout the
Jonah
course
Hill's
of the story,
sister.
I didn't know that until earlier today.
No way.
Yeah.
I did and not know.
Now that.
That
I know that, I can totally see it.
Right. Oh, I'm like, way. Oh, you totally see the failure. She was my favorite, or one of my favorite performances in the movie. I really loved her.
I loved her.
I can't wait to see her in more stuff.
Same.
She's awesome.
Yeah. So over the course of the movie, their friendship has sort of an arc where they're very close, but then Lady Bird meets this other girl in her class named Jenna, is it? She comes from a wealthier family and she's more popular. So Lady Bird's like, I want to be friends
with
her.
She's also like hella sexual.
She's
such a sex pot. It's like, and like overwhelming.
And like a sex pot in a way that is, because this movie takes place in 02, right?
Yeah.
It's very like an 02 sex pot kind of vibe where I like in a way I can't even describe. It was just like,
it's almost like a Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Kind of like approachable, but like having way more sex than you're like, comfortable with knowing for that
girl
person that age.
Yeah. This girl
they make it apparent as soon as you see her.
Yeah. Like is there a scene where she's chewing bubble gum? Like, it's
close
like
up on the lips, titties are out. Like she's just, but she looks so young.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that she actually is. That is like kind of a weird casting thing in this movie where it seems like the high school is mostly populated by kids that age, and then Saoirse Ronan is like 23.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that how you say her name?
Saoirse. Yeah.
I learned from, I had to watch the Golden Globes and just be like, how do they, what are they going to say? There's so many vowels.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll try to remember that.
Saoirse.
Meanwhile, Timothy Chardonnay is in it, and
so Timothy.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Timothy Charlemagne. That was another fun one.
Our Charlemagne.
Lil Howard's in.
Yeah,
love it.
So her friendship with Jenna sort of displaces Julie a little bit, but then
Julie's got drama club. She's good.
But she's not.
So many drama club trauma flashbacks this. God, just like the sincerity of a high school drama club and like watching that, you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then it's so bad.
It's so bad. It was well done how bad they made it.
Yeah.
And how they can't tell how bad it is.
No.
It's a great portrayal of drama club.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like when they cut to the scene and it's like they're like writhing around in primary colors.
Right.
They think
it's the most future, like this is like 2086 shit right here. Like this is the best stuff we've ever done in our lives, and it's awful.
Like,
unwatchable.
There's like a shot of the parents, and they're just like, "Ugh, these are our kids." So we
have to stomach this.
Yeah.
God, I would shut. There's got to be like video evidence of my high school drama club somewhere, but I would die.
I was never in drama club. I did mock trial, and I was on the soccer team. Those were my extracurriculars.
I was on mock trial in the tennis team.
Ooh. So, do you want to play tennis?
I would love to play. Let's do
email
it.
I'll tell you about it.
Okay, cool.
Because I've been playing tennis. Anyway, Jamie, come play tennis with us.
Okay.
Aristotle, you too.
I played Division 3 in college, so.
Oh, I'm terrible.
You should be afraid. Shit.
Yeah, okay. I am. Yeah, I'm not good at tennis.
That's just kidding. I'm just barely okay able to play. That's all you have to be to do D3 in college.
Oh, is D3 the division where you just show up?
Yeah. I like to say it to intimidate people that don't know what I'm talking about, but it sounds really
impressive. Yeah,
it does.
Great.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lady Bird. She has these different friendships. Lady Bird gets involved with this boy named Danny, who she meets through the theater production that they do.
Gay high school boyfriend flashbacks.
Yeah, he turns out to be gay, but I think we're supposed to believe that she might have her first kiss with him.
She does.
Anyway. She says it's her first kiss.
Okay, got it. Then she gets involved with Timothy Charlemagne, and
who really is so good in this movie, where you just fucking hate him.
Great performance.
You hate him a lot. Hate him.
Horrible character.
Yeah.
Hate that guy.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, she's, you know, having conflicts with her mother. She's applied to New York schools behind her mother's back. All these things kind of come to a head around graduation when she gets waitlisted at, I think, NYU. And her mother finds out about it, and she's all upset because the family is also lower middle class.
The father was laid off, so they're having financial troubles.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a heart-wrenching.
Her mom, I think, is a nurse in a psychiatric hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's working double shifts to pay for basically the whole family. And then Lady Bird also has a brother, Miguel, and his girlfriend, Shelley, who also lives with the family. I wish we saw those characters more. But
Shelley especially seemed like she has like one moment, but it's only sort of to be like, Lady Bird, be nice to your mom.
Yeah.
And that's sort of all you get, which is weird because it sounds like there was like a lot there where it sounded like she was kicked out of her house for having premarital sex.
She was, yeah. But they give her kind of a decent storyline later, you know, because Shelley tells Lady Bird how cool her mom was because, you know, when her actual mom kicked her out, her mom took her in very easily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also Shelley's other storyline is wanting Lady Bird to like her.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that is true.
Because there's that scene over they're eating eggs and then Shelley's like, your sister doesn't like me. And Miguel's like, yeah, she does. And everyone's like fighting and yelling.
Everyone's yelling all the
time. It's cute.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah. And then the story ends with her getting into the school in New York, moving there. She
drops Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She starts drawn by Christine. Her mother and she have not really reconciled by the time she leaves. But her mom has written her all these notes and basically she like calls and leaves a phone message being like, Mom, I love you. And then that's kind of the end of the movie.
And she goes to church. And
she goes,
Which will stop very quickly after starting going to college.
Right.
It's just a matter of time. But, you know, that description, like, that the movie has so many great scenes and so many great moments and so many great lines, like, that you totally relate to from going to high school and starting to experience all of these things and, like, I'm from Taunton, Massachusetts.
I'm from Brockton.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy. Oh, but you totally want to get out of there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as you love and respect the town and the people that are there, and you know everyone, and it's like, it's very much familiar. But, you know, I related to the movie so much in that sense that I was like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Same experience for me. I grew up in a small town in rural Pennsylvania, graduated only a year after Lady Bird's character did. Mm-hmm. So I was in high school right at the same time, you know. Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River was all the rage for me, too. For
sure. Great use of Cry Me a River.
Totally.
It was so good.
Also had a bit of a tumultuous relationship with my mother at the time. My mom,
same.
Lori, shout out to Lori.
Lori.
She's chilled out considerably since then, but
I'm sure you were perfect, too.
I'm sure you were
like teenage girls,
and she wanted to hang out with you so much.
Well, that's what she did because she never let me leave the house. She didn't let me do anything. Yeah. We were fighting about that all the time, like. We just argued a lot when I was a teen.
I dealt with my mom's overprotectiveness in a different way. Mm. Like, my parents didn't let me go to prom. Like, my mom was super, my mom is super religious and overprotective.
Yeah.
Which I totally get, you know what I mean? But I was, like, so super calm about it. I was just like, all right, well, I'll just live at college, and then I'll move away.
Like, I was too impatient for
that. That's a very reasonable teenager.
I'm being reasonable, because it's like, there's no point in, I'm not rebellious towards my parents. I don't see any use in that. Mm-hmm. I think the world is already so hard. Like, why would I, like, give my parents even more problems? And also, like, there's logic to her being overprotective. It just, of course, is oppressive to be so locked down all the time. But
did you go to Taunton High?
I did go to Taunton High.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is so crazy. For people that don't know,
Taunton and Brockton are literally the towns. They're neighbors. Right next to each other. They're neighbors.
Yeah. Love your mall. Great mall.
I don't love the Taunton Mall.
Really? That was always my fave.
You'd rather go there?
My mom would bring me to Taunton Mall as like a special treat. And
ooh,
she's like,
God.
You have $10, go to Claire's. I'd go to Claire's, have at with like the red tag items at Claire's.
Claire's.
God. Wow.
Guys, check it out.
There's nothing worse.
There's nothing else to do.
There's no mall worse than the Brockton Mall, as I'm sure
I
you
don't
know.
100% agree, only because I'd go get all of my weave there.
Oh, okay.
There was no weave in Taunton.
There is in Taunton Mall, that makes sense.
Yeah, but in Brockton, there's like lots of weave.
It's great.
It's where all the black people live. It's great.
I love Brockton so much.
Great.
Well, I didn't even have a mall in my hometown, so.
Well, you were like in the woods, basically.
Yeah, for sure. So, this movie, I think, has a great depiction of a relationship between a high school young woman mm-hmm. and her mother. Yes, we've talked before on the podcast about movies set in high school often don't feel like any, they don't look like any high school you've ever seen. They don't feel like any high school you went to. Like, they just feel like a Hollywood version of what high school is, and they don't ever
totally
feel real. But yeah. to me, seeing this young woman, it just like that felt real. Her high school experience, her relationship with her mother is such a more in-depth relationship than we often see explored in a movie, like a mainstream Hollywood movie like mm-hmm. this. That alone made me, especially the first time I like really enjoyed this movie, I was like, wow, this feels so honest. Seeing it the second time, I was like, I don't think I like Lady Bird as a character very much.
That was what I struggled with the first time. But then the second time when I saw it, I was like, oh, but I think that that means that the movie's doing a good job.
Yes, that's the thing, because the characterization is so well done. And I think we're supposed to come, at least for me, coming away from this, I was like, oh, you know, I don't really like this character, but I think
she's frustrating.
She's immature, but she's 17. She's 18. That like, that's, we're all terrible at that age.
We are. Right.
And I think we're supposed to come away from this, like, thinking, yes, she has potential to learn and grow, and that's what her mom wanted for her, to be the best version of herself. Yeah, just to kind of come into her own. You know, this is a coming-of-age story, if you will. Yeah, I think we're supposed to just, like, take away, wow, look how honest of a portrayal this relationship and these relationships were in this movie. So that was my main takeaway from it.
I loved it. My main takeaway from it was the mom, mm-hmm. Laurie Metcalf's character. Because I just feel like moms are so underappreciated in culture and society. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 30, something happened in my brain when two things became very important to me, my skin and my mom. Like, I don't know what happened, but like I immediately, like, I don't know what it is about like growing older, and I don't have kids, but it just made me understand my mom in ways that I've just never understood her before. And I like loved watching Lady Bird come to understand her mom towards the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what it was like so great about that. It would have like, that's what I think was the redeeming quality of her character. Like,
yes.
Because you don't like her and you're not supposed to like her, but at least by the end, she becomes like this very apologetic, very grateful, like kid who finally mm-hmm. realizes like the emotional labor of her, of yes. like being her mom. Like that, right. That's what it was. It's like this heavy lifting to like love you.
Yeah.
Oh God, there towards the end, it is like, I had times like that with, I mean, like we all see us and our moms in this movie, mm-hmm. but like the scene at the sink where Laurie Metcalf's washing dishes and is being very, you know, I'm not talking to you, and Lady Bird's flipping the fuck out. Yeah. Like I had so many moments of that with my mom where I would say something stupid or like lash out in some weird hormonal way at her, and then she would just shut down, and then I would be like, I don't remember the exact line of dialogue, but it really like hit me the second time, especially when she was like, you don't have to, you know, like me, just talk to me. I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck. I did that with my mom like every other day. Yeah. Greta Gerwig did such an amazing job of like finding these so specific moments that mm-hmm. somehow like resonate on this huge mm-hmm. level, like anytime they're at a store. And then, oh, there's one of the things that I loved both viewings is when they go to look at the nice houses right after she leaves her job. I'm like choking.
I love that
up.
Too.
It's so beautiful.
It is. Yeah.
And then my thing with the movie the first time, I remember I saw it in theaters with my friend who grew up in Sacramento at that exact time. Mm-hmm. And so her gripes were all like Sacramento related and I didn't know what they were.
Oh, sure.
But the things that I was like bummed out about the first time was I genuinely was mad at Lady Bird for bailing on Julie.
Yeah.
But that means that it's just like, you know, the movie got a serious reaction out of me because I was like, what? Like, Julie didn't get like a good apology. That sucked.
Yeah.
But again, that's just like a thought I had about the movie. And then I did wish that the relationship between Lady Bird and then Danny, right? When he comes out of the, I wish that like you get a great moment and we see that they're friends down the line. But I wish that was like explored a little bit more.
Same. I agree with that. Yeah.
And also it's like, again, it's so, you can't watch this movie and not make it personal. But like I had a gay high school boyfriend that, you know, there, I was like, there's so many like weird, cool moments you could go back to, but movies, I would have taken a little bit less Timothée Chalamet, and
Timothée
swapped out
Chardonnay. Ugh.
Yeah. He's, I mean, and that character is great. I like, it was so well written in terms of just like, what a fuck. Ugh, he's got Howard Zinn. Like that's, you know exactly who he is.
Right.
And you even find out he's like, oh, my dad has cancer. And he's still the worst.
Yeah.
Which really speaks to how annoying he is. But my main gripe with the movie the first time was like, I wish we got more Danny. I thought that was like a cool relationship we didn't see a lot of.
Lady Bird does kind of redeem herself with her mom at the end, like you were saying, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I wanted more of a redemption with both Danny and her best friend, Julie. Because she does go back at the end, like right before prom, and we don't see her actually apologize verbally. Maybe she doesn't need to. Maybe their friendship is on such a level where she doesn't. Just her showing up and hanging out with her is enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm like kind of working through this in real time. I do like that they reconciled. I don't know. I just wish that, because the first time I saw the movie, I was like, huh, she's funny, she's spunky, she's bold, she's like really outspoken, and I liked that about her. And then the second time around, when I was like paying more close attention, I was like, oh, she's kind of mean to her friend, and she dumps her at one point. I know it is, and it made me, I don't know, it just made me annoyed with her. And then she like makes that racist comment to her brother, where she's basically implying that he only got into UC Berkeley because of like affirmative action, and he's just you're the worst. And and I was just like, oh, she's a little piece of shit. But again, we all are at that time,
and that's,
I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was accurate.
It is.
And I think that that's partially why she's so frustrating, because she is a teenage girl.
We see ourselves in
her. You know what I love the most is at the end of the movie when she's at that party and the guy asks her where she's from, and she says Sacramento, and he doesn't really hear her, and she changes her answer to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I love that she's still lying, like even, because that's a theme throughout the movie that she lies, because she lies about
cheats.
The house that she lives in, and like, she cheats.
She steals the grade book, she throws it away, she lies about her grade.
She's a terrible person. She ditches her friend Julie. She only goes to Julie after she learns her lesson.
Justice for Julie.
Yeah, justice for Julie. But like, I love that at the end she's still lying, because it's this great reminder that change is slow and that, you know, maybe at the end of the 4 years she'll be a different person, but her first party at college, she's still Lady Bird, she's still Christine, she's still not comfortable in this new role of, she's not older, she's just in a different place, you know, which was really cool.
And it's cool to see her kind of figure that out in real time, because and that is part of what I found frustrating about the character. And again, it's like, the more we talk about it, it's like, it's not, that doesn't mean that it's not, I mean, that means it's really good. Because and I recognize this like behavior in, you know, like girls I knew in high school, of like, they'll try out a club, and then if they're not immediately the center, like that was like, Lady Bird wanted attention, and when she didn't get like a role she thought was sufficient for her, she was like, oh, fuck off, bye.
Yeah.
And then like moved on to the next thing, which is Jenna, and then moved on to the next, like she's just all, you know, just like a very teenage selfishness. And it's weird, I mean, because she also, she is insecure in some way, like she is a very confident character, but there are some ways that, like this was something I remember feeling myself too. Like she was so confident, but also very adamant about her own like mediocrity, and was not really delusional in any way about, like, she's like, yeah, my grades aren't good enough, but I'm gonna figure it out. Right. Yeah, like that we know of yet.
Yeah.
That's such a great line. And you know, like when her mom was like, oh, do you still like drama? She's like, no, I don't think I'm good at it. Like, Lady Bird wants to find the easiest way to do everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know,
which is, again,
a lot of us at that age.
Understandable.
Yeah.
You know? Stuff's hard.
Yeah. So these are just very well written characters that we really usually don't see on screen, because especially female characters are such one dimensional, underdeveloped people who don't feel like real people, that it is refreshing to see such dynamic characters in this movie.
Yes.
I agree. I loved it.
I want to talk about Julie. I think she's my favorite character.
We need to talk about Julie. New movie starring Tilda Swinton.
So one of the things I want to say about her is that I really like that we get representation on screen of a young woman who is fat.
Yeah.
We almost never see fat women in movies. Even of the female characters that we've talked about on this podcast, who we love and we think are such like badass female characters, they're almost always like these unrealistically thin women. Hollywood is very guilty of portraying this like unrealistic standard of beauty that like no one can achieve. Mm. And having their like badass, strong female protagonists and female characters still be very, by Western standards, very beautiful and very thin. So I just really liked that we see a very lovable, good character.
Awesome, yeah.
Smart, like she gets cast in the lead of the play, even though she does not have that standout of an audition. Like her audition.
That was where I was like, she had a weird, yeah. Like, and Lady Bird, I thought, had a pretty good audition.
I thought so too.
It was extra as hell, but like with like, that same. Yeah.
But just the fact that we see that representation, I think, is really great. Because we haven't talked that much about, like, kind of the body positivity movement on this podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like we don't talk about it a lot because we so rarely see other body types in any movie we cover.
Totally, yeah. Which is also worth mentioning that we hardly ever see that.
Yeah, and kind of speaking to that point, I thought that the way that that was, I mean, that was in no way a focal point, even of Julie's character, really.
No, not at all.
But the few times that, like, Julie, like, she says a few times, like, oh, I feel so fat, or, like, there's, like, little comments. Mm-hmm. And Lady Bird never quite knows how to deal with it and respond.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, me too. Or like something like, yeah, I've like, connected with those moments too, of like when your friend expresses an insecurity and then you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to say I feel the same way, even though like, yeah. Like,
because a scene very early on, they're looking through a magazine at the store where Miguel works at, and they see like an ad of this like probably Photoshopped model.
Oh, 100%. I mean, 2002?
Yeah. Even today, all that shit's being Photoshopped. Julie says, you know, why can't I look like that? I think Lady Bird doesn't really respond or, like, doesn't say anything that important. But then Lady Bird reflects that same sentiment much later on in the movie when she's shopping for her prom dress. And she comes out and there's a dress that's a little too tight. And, you know, she's saying, like, why don't I look like the women in the magazines? Which is
a bit on the nose.
On the nose. You know. But, you know.
Point gets across.
But, yeah, I do like those little moments where, you know, Julie, like you said, expresses an insecurity, which, you know, again, just a totally realistic thing for women of all ages to be insecure about. So I just, yeah, I just really liked that representation and that was addressed in the movie. I would like to see more movies feature just a strong female lead that doesn't have that quote-unquote ideal body shape. I'd like to see...
For sure.
Representation across the board of just, you know, other shapes and sizes. Doesn't seem like we're quite there yet in Hollywood.
I don't think so, but it's on the horizon. I can feel it in my bones. It's coming. You know, when you see, I really do. Like when you see more women directors, you see more women screenwriters, you see women really getting the means of production. You have a Shonda Rhimes that exists, you have an Oprah that exists. Oprah has a network. Like, I don't see how in the next 10 to 20 years, based on the way those women look, you know,
right.
Like, and what they've already done, like that work isn't pushed more. And like women like us who want to see ourselves represented on screen, even in Issa Rae with her natural hair, like that's mind boggling to me. Like you don't see a lead with natural hair like 10 years ago ever, you know, like now it's everywhere. Now it's like, I don't even know how to take care of my natural hair. Now I'm like, oh my God, now it's a trend. I gotta figure it out. But it's like, I think it's only gonna get better, really.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. I think you're right.
It makes me happy. I feel uplifted.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. You guys don't agree? You don't think it's gonna get better?
I think so often we get caught in the mire of like, where you're usually covering movies that are a little bit older, and it's so easy to just get bogged down with like, oof, Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're giving James Franco Golden Globes. Okay. You know, like, but it does seem like there is a system that is, if not being pushed all the way out, is at least being pushed to the side, which is, yeah.
I think the most promising thing is that system is seeing how financially, like, it can't last long. Like, that system, like people aren't supporting movies that only have this or that. Like, I think a movie like Black Panther, which I personally have been excited to see.
I'm so excited to see it. I already got my tickets.
I'm so ready.
Oh, dude.
But the fact that or even like Lady Bird, let's just use the movie we're talking about. A movie like Lady Bird that is financially successful, you know, like from the time when Bridesmaids was financially successful. Mm-hmm. Everything's about money in this industry. So totally. It's just like, right. Once they see that there's this structure that's built on these oppressive kind of ideas, because only a handful of people or only so many people get to make these decisions, when their bottom line isn't being met because they can't finance
because people aren't putting up the money anymore
because they know they don't have to see something like that, they have to change or they die, which is fine. Some of them will go away and some of them will wise up and like make movies with women and people of color and like put people, or like even better, I hate having to like shove my way into like the person of power's, you know, position. I'd rather just create my own thing and then you die naturally. You know, competition is great in that way. You know, like when you're making something people want to see, like I don't have to push my way to the table. I can make my own table and make my own film and make my own, you know.
Yeah, like, totally.
And I think it's amazing. I think it's going to be dope.
And with like all these different platforms, things are so much more accessible than they used to be with 100%. Like the studio system and all that.
Yeah.
It sucks that for like the Hollywood studio system, the motivator for them is money and not showcasing marginalized voices. Like, well, it's good that that's
America.
The result.
This is America.
Capitalist.
I know. Yeah. Socialist Caitlin over here.
So it's Caitlin, go get your plow.
Get out of here.
I'm not a libertarian.
Libertarians own plows. That's just like a fun thing I enjoy pushing in the world. And when movies like Lady Bird, I want to see how beyond its budget it made. But like this movie did so well. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at, and I think there was just like a culture shift of a couple years ago. Do I think my little brother would go out of his way to see Lady Bird? No. Like, mm-hmm. But he did, and he's seen it twice. I mean, that has to do with MoviePass too. But but like it is cool that there is like a culture shift happening where you don't necessarily see Lady Bird and you're like, oh, it's the girl movie. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go. But where it's like my dad and my brother saw Lady Bird and they just, and I think, unless they were like placating me, I think they just thought they saw a movie, mm-hmm. which they did. But I think 10 years ago, they would have been like, oh yeah, we saw, I can't believe I had to go see the girl movie, you know?
Do you know what that makes me think of when you say they saw a quote unquote girl movie and they are just talking about it like a normal movie? It makes me think of the Me Too movement or just the sexual harassment culture in Hollywood that everyone's been talking about how like dudes are just like, well, how are we supposed to talk to women? It's just like they're a person. Imagine talking to another guy, but that you might, you know, and like, would you touch another guy if you didn't ask that person or didn't know if it was okay, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, the sexual attraction part is, you know, one piece, but then also they're also a person. That's what I would like to say to people that are confused.
Yeah, it's...
Well, it's been shoved down everybody's throat in media and just culture in general that... Actually, women aren't really people. They're objects.
Yeah.
So all these men who, like, don't know how to talk to women or, like, don't know how to treat them, it's because they've been spoon-fed these ideas that, like, women are objects and that they're not real people and they don't have autonomy. So
yeah, they're just like jiggling boobs. Sometimes they have a name, sometimes they don't. Even like you guys were talking about when you go back and watch old movies, it's true. When I go back and watch old movies, I'm like, holy shit.
Right. And like even like recent past, like something that this movie didn't really address that, I mean, I just think that there wasn't time, but like, I would be so interested in, like, what were the movies Lady Bird and Julie were, like, seeing in 2002? Because it had to have been a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's kind of... I feel like the early 2000s was weirdly especially bad in the ways that women are portrayed. I'm kind of, I think, plugging in my time at working in the Playboy archives as a litmus test for that. But, like, the early 2000s was especially pushing, like, a... insane body type on the world that's less realistic than almost any other era I can think of. So I kind of wish I knew, like, I'm like, oh, because they don't talk about movies. Music is discussed
a little bit.
And the soundtrack is like awesome. I really like it. Also, to date, Lady Bird has practically quadrupled its budget.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
$10 million budget. It's made $39.1 million at the box office.
That's amazing.
Cool.
So great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Nowhere near what a blockbuster gets, which is upsetting. But people are buying tickets to go see
people
it.
People are seeing it. It's
that's good.
Exciting.
Woo-hoo.
Yay.
Another thing I wanted to talk about is I love how, like, sex positive that household is.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's, like, really cool to see. We almost never see that in movies.
We don't get it. I loved how when she asked her mom, when's a good time to have sex?
Yeah.
And her mom, what did her mom say?
She says, she has a little, she's like, are you having sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she says truthfully, no.
Yeah.
Because she hadn't had sex yet at that point. Mm-hmm. And then her mom says, I'd say college. And then she's like, and make sure you use protection like we talked about, which is implying that they've already had the sex talk. Like, if you're going to do it, just like, you know, use protection, make sure you're ready, all that stuff. There's that conversation, which I really loved. I really liked, I think it's earlier on in the movie, but Lady Bird's mom and dad are like in the bathroom. And
her
mom says, like, do you think Miguel and Shelly have sex on the pullout cat?
He goes,
and he's like, oh, yeah. And then they laugh about it. Like,
I loved it.
It's so funny.
Like, because I don't know how religious the family is. I think that because Lady Bird goes to an all-Catholic high school, maybe I'm assuming.
No, because they address that, too. Yeah. That they said that Miguel saw someone stabbed in public school.
Yeah, right.
It's the best school
in the area. So, God, I remember that argument against, like, public school of just, like, someone got stabbed once. And it's like.
Yeah.
So I guess my point was, I assume that the family was at least religious enough to send their kid to a religious school, but maybe not. Either way, the fact that they. That it was like a pretty sex positive household.
Did either of you grow up in like households like that?
Very religious households?
No, like sex positive.
Not at all.
Sex negative.
Absolutely.
My mom was actually for as liberal as she is, my mom is, or at least was at the time, not so progressive about sex.
Shout out Lori.
Now I talk to her all the time about raw dog and dudes. No, not really.
I hope not. That's vulgar.
That's your mother speaking.
That's your mother.
I call my mom. You know what? Maybe I'm going to regret the sentence a bit. I call my mom, like, basically anytime I have a new sex partner, I'm like, Mom, can I send you pics? Like, what's good?
This is like a dream world. I could never. I'm married and I can't really. My mom is so like.
Really?
If you like go back home with your husband, does she make you sleep in separate bedrooms?
No. We sleep in the same bedroom, but like it's like. I don't even.
She just like doesn't want to hear it.
Like she doesn't believe in like birth control, like for married couples. Like she thinks like she's that. Like she thinks we should be having kids already. Which I'm just like, oh my god.
My mom was so sex positive to the point where I think she kind of like fucked me up in the reverse way. Where there were multiple times in high school, I lost my virginity. I mean, I talk about it all the fucking time. I do.
August 15th, 2010.
I do a whole fucking show, but all that to say, my mom approached me several times before I lost my virginity, and she was like, "Oh, you haven't lost your virginity? Are you sick? Like, are you
gross? Did she ask you that?
Yeah, she was like, "Are you not doing it right? Like, why? Because my mom loved all of my high school boyfriends to the point of like, are you hitting on them? And she was like, you should, go for it. You know, and she was also great with like, she brought me to the doctor. Anytime I would start dating someone, she would bring me to a doctor to kind of just, you know, remind me that I could have sex if I want. But she was, I don't know. I think my mom was like, Jamie, why aren't you like a wild little slut? I was like, I actually like reading and
sluts
watching
like
television.
To read.
I did, at the time, I wasn't a reading slut.
Right.
I was a reading prude, but now I'm a reading slut.
Congrats.
And that's great.
Congrats. Yeah.
So I feel lucky to have grown up in a household like that. And then my dad, I think sort of like Lady Bird's dad was not, I mean, it would have been weird if he was just like, you having sex? What's going on? But he was like tolerant and cool and nice about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
as parents. Was her mom, which I think is really what Lady Bird and her mom do fight about and then what they don't fight about, I think, is really telling of both of their characters as well. Mm-hmm. Because you've seen a million times in movies and then also our real lives of being really scared to approach your mom about sex stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, and fear of her judging you and being called a slut and things like that. But the fact that no judgment is passed in their conversation about sex and the fact that they don't fight about it, whereas they fight about all kinds of other stuff. But the fact that no shame is attached to Lady Bird potentially having sex, I thought was like really awesome to see.
Right. I wonder if that's California.
Oh, yeah, good.
Because you know, like you being from rural Pennsylvania, like there's no way your parents would be
sex negative.
Yeah, like I'm from an I'm Haitian. I was born in Haiti. Like I'm from a very immigrant background. Yeah. Like that's very common for, you know, parents in those kinds of backgrounds to not be sex positive. So, but the people that I meet from California, particularly San Francisco, of course, but like I'm imagining even places like Sacramento, I'm wondering if it is a little bit more open and a little bit more. There's more education and people are more laid back about young people having sex. Not even like laid back because there's no reason to be bananas about it. Just more understanding
I guess,
accepting,
I mean,
of young people.
Because I thought that same California thing when we see how chill the nuns are. Yeah. I was like, oh, these are some California nuns.
Exactly. Like, California nuns. Different. They're unforgettable.
You did not just... Oh my God.
Man.
Oh, man. Shout out to the Nuns Having Fun calendar.
Shout out to the nuns.
You ever have a Nuns Having Fun calendar?
No. I feel like everyone
is... Thing?
Oh, dude. Yeah. For my aunt is like really into the Nuns Having Fun calendar.
I thought that was you making a joke.
No, check it out. Like if you... It's one of the better Google image searches you
Do.
Nuns Having Fun. They're doing all sorts of stuff.
Awesome.
They're at the beach. They're climbing a... I have a very specific image of... a bunch of nuns in a tree just smile. You're like, great, this is, they're having fun. Anyways,
yeah,
the nuns are very chill in this movie.
Yes.
Which I thought was a fun choice of the things that you would assume in like a coming of age movie would provide the most resistance kind of don't in this movie, where I, you know, when it opened at a religious school, I'm like, oh, there's going to be some religion struggle in this, but that's not really where the movie chooses to go.
Right.
Which I thought was like cool and smart.
Yeah.
And California, I mean, nuns, baby.
We're used to, the nun representation in cinema is like, you know, these like these hard,
Oxford
in
doubt. No. Well, my nun representation is Sister Act. So that's all I've ever seen. And I'm just like, nuns are always portrayed awesome and like their lives are awesome. And I almost wonder if it's because they don't have to, men don't have to be attracted to them, so they don't have to be represented as anything but fun and cool and carefree, like because they love one man,
Jesus.
Doubt, my favorite
Shout
movie
out.
Of all time.
Are you your favorite serious? Movie, Doubt?
It's one of my favorites. I've seen Doubt so many. I don't
Are
know why
serious?
It speaks to.
It's
yeah,
so dark.
It's very dark. I watch it a couple times a year.
What is going on in your head?
I don't know. It's an actor's film. I love it. It's
okay.
All five, everyone across the board, beautiful work.
It is beautiful acting in that film.
Doubt passes the Bechdel test.
Wow.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy, because it's like Amy Adams and Meryl Streep just saying the word doubt back and forth.
Doubt.
I got doubt. Me too.
But don't they
doubt.
Have doubt? They have doubt in men.
They have doubt. Well, yeah. I mean,
is that passing the Bechdel test?
It does.
We're going to talk about doubt at some
point.
We'll
do the episode. Yeah.
That's going to be a 5-hour barn burner of a Bechdel cast episode, is because I feel like I talk about doubt in every episode.
Yeah, that's true. Doubt has become our new Titanic almost. Although, shout
out to
Titanic.
Is that the other film that you guys
think
is the best
film? We really talk about Titanic
a lot.
We have good taste, as you can tell.
Does that one pass the Bechdel test?
It does.
It does.
Right, because she talks to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Titanic fares way better than you would think on almost every...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what conversations has she had that weren't about her husband.
Well, and then also at the beginning, it's like the old lady and her...
Her granddaughter
talk. Kathy Bates talks to other women. So, I mean, it's not the best, but it does way better than you'd think.
Okay.
Back to Lady Bird, though.
Sorry.
I couldn't help but notice how many people you see crying in this movie and how several of them are men. Because you see Danny crying. You see that priest crying who's, like, directing the school musical.
God, what a beautiful, tragic character.
Yeah.
God.
I wish you maybe found out a little... Well, so you see a scene where he's speaking to Lady Bird's mom in the psychiatric hospital, and you don't know exactly what's going on, except you can kind of assume that he is probably still grieving from the death of his son, and depressed. And oh, I felt so, like, whenever she's like, do you have a support system? And he's like, what do you mean? Like, do you have anyone you can talk to when you feel this way? And he said, no, not really. I was like, oh, my heart is breaking for this man.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like the writing of this movie is so good. Is we barely see that character and he still
and
gets
we still
this,
have
like,
such a strong emotional response to it.
And he has then, like, really funny line too after the drama show. And then he's like, they didn't understand it. So that reminded me of my high school theater director too.
Mental health is addressed again whenever Lady Bird goes into Julie's house before they go to prom, and Julie's just crying, and she's like, what's happening? Why are you crying? And she's like, I'm just crying. And she's like, what? And she's like, some people just aren't built happy. And I was like, oh.
And I think that they address it with the father character, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because he's on antidepressants, I think.
He's on antidepressant. And then Lady Bird's mom is sensitive to it until sometimes she'll just use it as sort of like an argument chip of like, your father's depressed. Yeah. And stop being such a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Like, but I thought that was interesting, too, of like, yeah, I guess we do see like men dealing with depression.
I actually missed the Julie being depressed part because she wasn't going to go to prom. So I thought she was crying about that and just didn't want to admit that.
I wasn't sure what that moment
was. That's what I thought that moment was.
Interesting. Yeah. I interpreted it because of her. I think that that's easy to assume. But then when she says, you know, some people just aren't built happy, I thought she was maybe just having sort of a depressive episode. And but I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
And then when they go to prom together, it's so
And then
it's cute.
And they do have a really nice time. And if she had been depressed, I hope Lady Bird helped kind of alleviate that for at least a little while.
Did you see the picture that was sort of like circulated around of Greta Gerwig directing that scene?
Mm-mm. I think so, yeah.
She wore a prom dress to direct that
scene.
Oh, I did.
I heard
about
that.
Sweet.
Oh.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, I was like, that's so nice.
I wonder if she's like super like weird.
Greta Gerwig is interesting because I would say Frances Ha was her big thing.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand Frances Ha.
I didn't get it at all.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't know what's going on.
Who was that movie for? And I couldn't stand her character in it. I was like, what is she doing? She's the whole dancing in the street vibe to Frances.
I think I only watched the first maybe 25 minutes of it and then never went back to it.
Yeah.
And that was really my only experience of Greta Gerwig prior to knowing that she had made this movie. Like, I knew who she was. Mm. Like, she's randomly in the Jackie O biopic for some reason. Okay. Like, so, I knew who she was, but I was like, oh, the Frances Holly, I don't want to see this. But turns out that she is better than Frances. Like, it was exciting. And now I'm fully Team Greta Gerwig.
I think she's brilliant. I would love to meet her one day. I hope she is weird.
She's got to be.
Greta, if you want to come on the podcast. Open invitation.
Come to Velvet.
Sorry about this. Sorry about the things I said about Frances Ha.
No, we're all entitled to our opinion. When you put out your art, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people, I mean, I can't imagine there's many, but I'm sure there's people out there who don't even like the Bechdel cast. So
I can't imagine why, but sure. They talk about doubt too much. Main criticism. And also, it's very impressive given the sheer number of characters we see in this movie of how every character has their moment, pretty much. There wasn't the symptom of too many characters and then we just lose some. Although I do wish we'd seen more Danny.
Mm.
You guys love this character.
I loved
it. I'm ambivalent. I do definitely hate Timothy Chardonnay.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor. I hate his character.
But even he gets a moment, too, of like, he has a little bit of depth and you know he's like, he's a piece of shit and is shitty to Lady Bird. But Lady Bird's kind of shitty and he has a sick dad. And it's like, you know, I don't know.
Scene where she loses her virginity to him. And then she thinks that he has also lost his virginity to her. And she's like, wow, we took each other's flowers. And he's like, nuh-uh. I've had sex with maybe 6 other people. I don't know. And it's like, shut up. Quit being so cool. And then
that line, she's like, how could you not even know if it's 6 people?
I've
definitely like said that when I was like younger to be like, how do you not know the exact number and order? What's wrong with you?
But that really upsets her because she says, like, I thought we were, like, sharing an experience. Like, this, my whole experience or my perception of this is completely wrong. And then the scene right after that, her mom picks her up and she, on the verge of tears, and her mom's like, what's wrong? And then she just kind of, like, sinks into her mom's embrace. And it's, you see this really tender moment between these two characters who you're usually seeing fighting. But I like the balance of them fighting, but then also having, like, warm, tender moments like that is just, like, really... I don't know, just it, my robot heart that usually doesn't respond emotionally to things, unless it's Paddington or Paddington 2. I really felt something there. And I
Paddington 2 has a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes
Paddington
right now.
Paddington 2 is the best movie.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I haven't seen Paddington 2.
Paddington?
For everyone who can't see it, Kaylin just gave me a look.
I've never known you to have such a strong opinion. And you have strong opinions on a lot of things, but nothing stronger than Paddington 2.
What is Paddington 2?
Paddington is an animated film? It's a live action, except the bear Paddington. Paddington
That's
Bear.
That's what I thought it
is
was.
Is CGI.
Yeah.
The first movie is terrific. The second movie is even better.
It's genuinely a good movie.
It's so good.
Okay.
Caitlin's seen it 400
times.
It's
hard to believe. But I'm going
to... It is hard to believe, especially because the movies are not marketed well.
Okay.
Because they're children and family movies, so yeah. I won't get into it. Just know that Paddington 2 is the best movie of this century, so that's
wow.
all.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the story? Like, quick, like, what is it about?
Paddington is a bear who lives in Peru.
Oh, my God.
He gets displaced by an earthquake. He has to move to London. This is Paddington 1. He's looking for a family to take him in, and then this family finds him. The father is like, ooh, a bear? No. And the mom is like, no, we have to help this bear. It's an allegory for immigration and racism, right. And it's so good. And then they take him in, and they try to help him find this explorer, and they... I won't spoil it. And then Paddington 2, he's in the family now. He gets wrongfully accused of a crime. Hugh Grant gives the performance of a lifetime.
Wow, this is an epic movie.
Yes, it's
two
great.
Two movies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So check out Paddington and Paddington 2. Anyway,
and Lady Bird.
And Lady Bird, yes.
And The Shape of Water with my new boyfriend,
the
fish's butt. the movie is pretty good. It's a good love story, but you go for the hot fish.
Okay.
The fish is hot. So, yeah, I mean, there's truly no shortage of good movies out right now. Don't see The Post.
True.
Don't see The Post.
Really?
Skip The Post.
Oh, no, but that screenwriter is like a first-time writer, and she's like so cool.
I know. I think that Steven Spielberg kind of biffs it up by, with a bunch of, just like the story is not the problem. It's just like the way it's shot. It's so Oscar-baity in the way it like looks and
you know, I haven't
the
heard.
Muse, it's just
you know. One of the reasons why I haven't gone to see it is because no one is talking about it. Like, I haven't heard anyone be like, you gotta go see The Post.
Because you don't. You don't. I, Tanya, amazing.
No way.
Tanya's so good.
No okay.
Yeah.
Check out our I, Tanya Patreon episode coming out. One last thing I wanted to say about Lady Bird is that it's a very white movie. You do see two people of color characters in Miguel and Shelley. The fact that those characters are sort of, to me, they felt sidelined. It was kind of crazy that, you know, this is a movie about Lady Bird and her home life and her, like, year leading up to leaving her family. The fact that those are the two characters that we see the, like, least of screen time-wise and they feel the least developed. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I mentioned this before, I just wish we had seen more of those characters.
I mean... I do think they were sidelined, and I don't think they were cast really great. They didn't have, like, really great... Like, even when they were on camera, they didn't really shine to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought... I imagine that maybe that was part of the problem. Like, you don't really want to put them in more because they're not really owning the scenes that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I thought for such a white movie to... Like, I didn't feel like it was that bad. Like, I really felt like because it's a movie about a white girl and her mother and their relationship. I don't think it was about these characters.
Right.
And I think the way that they handled the race, the different races, is great because they didn't put them in scenes and then make jokes about their race or like the punchline isn't their race, you know, or like.
Right. And then the one time it does come up, Lady Bird's immediately told to fuck right
yeah.
off.
Exactly.
Which is like
yeah.
Exactly.
And they don't ignore it either. They totally call out that they're different races, but it's not like they don't make fun of it. They don't. Mm-hmm. It's like right. it's well handled for this film. You know. Yeah.
I don't know what the demographics of Sacramento. That was part of it. It's like, oh, this is a very white movie, but it's a period piece in a very specific place, and maybe that's what it would have looked like. I'm not totally sure though.
Yeah.
I don't know what Sacramento was looking like in '02.
Yeah.
I was at Westgate Mall.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything else they want to say about Lady Bird?
I think you should see Lady Bird. I think it's a great movie.
You gotta
if you
see
haven't
it.
Seen it, it's like if you want good storytelling, great acting by Laurie Metcalf and Saoirse Ronan.
And Beanie.
It's like sweet and fun and easy to watch, and like you might cry at the end, maybe.
Yeah, I had like 5 different moments of, you know, like a 2-second cry where you're like, ugh!
Yeah.
And then it's over. I had a bunch of those.
My cry was when they're dropping Lady Bird off at the airport and her mother refuses to go out and say goodbye to her or even look at her. Yeah. And then she drives around the block and, you know, runs into the dad's arms crying.
Yeah.
She's gonna, like, I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
So, as we alluded to earlier, this movie for sure passes the Bechdel test. Lady Bird's talking to her mom. She's talking to Julie. She's talking to Jenna. She talks to Shelley.
She talks to the cool nuns.
The cool nuns. All kinds of characters.
She talks to her guidance counselor. Wasn't her guidance counselor a black woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I don't know if we ever...
It's a very quick scene.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever learn her name. So I don't know if that scene technically passes.
Ooh. Got it.
But
that was a fun scene of like Lady Bird's like, I'm not sure if I have the grades to get into a good school. And she like laughs at her face. Like, it's like, you definitely don't.
For sure don't.
You do not. That was, so, you know.
Yeah. So they're often talking about school or Sacramento or applying to colleges and all kinds of stuff that are not about boys.
It's amazing.
But they also do talk about boys, which is high school.
Yeah. There's also a sweet moment in the pool with Jenna. When Lady Bird asked her what she wants to do, and Jenna says she wants to be a mom. And I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
I guess we didn't really have time to talk about the Jenna character, but I thought that she was another small character who is serviced pretty well by this movie.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Where when we first see her, it's like you almost draw the conclusion of how the character will be treated, which is like, oh, she's going to be, you know, villainized or whatever. Uh-huh. And she is a little bit, and you know, and you see in the way high school girls sometimes are, like, you see what Jenna's going for, but then you do see those, like, human moments. And
I agree. And she's actually the one who's hurt at the end of the movie because Lady Bird lies to her about where she lives.
Yeah, and she says something like, I can't even begin to understand why someone would lie about that.
So you could see that Jenna was genuinely in it for the friendship, and they weren't friends anymore because of Lady Bird's being a stupid liar.
Right.
So
I do.
Lady Bird is such a liar.
She is, but Greta does an excellent job at like putting layers into these characters for sure.
I also liked that scene between Lady Bird and Julie where Julie's like, Jenna's a moron. She's like, no, she's in AP calculus. She's like, she's a moron in a deeper sense.
Oh, nice.
Really great.
I also loved the portrayal of a happy marriage that was financially unstable. You know, like I was like the stressors of life. And yet they managed to keep their marriage happy, which I liked so much.
And speaking to like the beta, I mean, we've called him beta daddy at this point. But seeing a man in a marriage and is in the beta role and is, you know, quote unquote emasculated in a sense when he can't find a job and he is depressed. But I think when we see characters like that, especially male characters a lot, it's like we're supposed to believe like, and it's killing him.
Yeah.
He wants to be the alpha so bad.
Right, yeah.
But this character doesn't.
And totally fine where he's at.
And he seems very much like Laurie's. I mean, I don't remember the name of her character.
Marion.
Marion. He's very much Marion's emotional support. And you can tell that she respects him very much for that, which I loved to see.
A lot of tropes that you see over and over again in mainstream Hollywood movies are totally subverted in this movie. And it's just 100%. Like really awesome to
see. It's great. Yeah.
With that, let us rate the movie on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples, we rate based on its portrayal of women. I'm going to give it 5 nipples.
I agree.
Me too.
Yeah.
I give it 5 nipples.
Yeah.
Five nipples across the board.
That never happens.
The characterization is really great. And
I love a flawed female protagonist.
Same.
We don't get to see flawed female protagonists enough, and there are a number of movies out right now with very flawed female protagonists that even though they're lying and doing, you know, stuff that's fucked up, the writing is there and you can see yourself in it. Like watching this movie is a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like it.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for being here. Oh,
thank you for having me, guys. I had so much fun talking about this movie.
Yay.
This is a blast.
Where can people find you online? Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at I'm Charlotte Face, mm-hmm. and then also on Instagram at I'm Charlotte Face. And I run a show called Velvet. We're first Friday of every month at Copper Steel in Koreatown at 8:30. It's a free show. It's always great lineups and it's always a fun time. And I host Special. It's going to be Thursday, February 15th at 8 p.m. at Lyric Hyperion. Kate Berlant is on the show.
Ooh, love her.
Yeah, and it's called Special because we're doing long sets. You're like seeing material that they would do if they had a special.
Awesome. So. If you love long sets of stand-up comedy, check that out.
Awesome.
You can follow the Bechdelcast on all the social media. You can go to, you should rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
And you should subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $5 a month, and you get 2 bonus episodes every month of the Bechdelcast.
This month, you get I, Tanya, and the Disaster Artist.
Ooh.
Wow. Biopic nice. February.
Yes. Also, you should come to our live show.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Los Angeles, California? Whoa. Ever heard of it?
Yeah. If you live there or near there, we have a live show on February 12th at 8:30 at the Nerdist Showroom at Meltdown Comics.
I'm so excited. We're doing the Notebook, baby.
The Notebook with past guests from our Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid episode.
Dizzy.
Caitlin Gill will be there. She's awesome. She's so funny.
She's amazing.
It's going to be a great live show. Yep. Come on down. Tickets are $10. And we're going to have our brand new merch for sale there. So,
hot merch alert.
Wow.
Want to save on shipping?
Yeah. Get those stickers. Get some buttons.
Aristotle will be there. Everyone want to meet Aristotle?
Yeah. And you can meet us too.
No one wants to meet us.
Your favorite celebrities, Caitlin and Jamie,
yeah.
will be there for you to meet and talk to in person.
Our backup dancers will be there?
Mm-hmm.
you've never heard our backup dancers before, but they're always here. They're always dancing. Quietly.
Yeah, so come on down to that. Tickets are on sale. You can go to Bechdelcast.com/live and get your tickets, and we'll see you there.
See you there.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, Charlotte. Have a great time, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.